Triple Threat Media is a New Orleans-based production company that documents the humanity of multi-hyphenates in the arts and entertainment industries. They produce everything from music videos to live and virtual events, reels, commercials, and podcasts. The people behind Triple Threat Media are the most smart, multi-talented, and humble professionals in the greater New Orleans area who love and honor the art of storytelling. How do I know this? Well, Triple Threat Media is my company. If you've been following my artistic journey over the last 18 years, you know it's always involved some type of multimedia production. All of that seasoning has put me in community with the best industry professionals in this area who are ready to serve you in your next media project. Also, with every transaction, Triple Threat Media shares a cut of their earnings to directly support the sustainability and economic empowerment of New Orleans artists. When you book our services, you are helping individuals in those communities keep their lights on, tap into their creative aspirations, and level up their entrepreneurial ambitions. For more info and to book our services, visit triplethreatmedia.net. Everybody, welcome back to the Self-Aware Millennial. I am your host, J-Mix. If you don't know me, multi-hyphenate artist, do a lot, sing, dance, act, podcast, roller skate, whatever pays the bills. And today, we're going to be talking with Sakina Daz. Is it Daz or Daz?
Daz, like Haagen-Dazs.
Oh my goodness, I thought it was Daz this whole time.
No, it's all good. I mean, I literally, I was on the news the other day and they said Daz, so.
We're going to talk about it. But before we get to that, we're going to be talking about gender roles, which in this day and age, you know, it kind of is all out the window because of the society that we're in, which is not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think. But I guess it depends on where you're coming at from. And some people want them, some people don't.
Right.
But we're going to talk about what we want. And then we're going to talk about... Yeah, we're talking. So before we get into that, however, I want to give a couple of quick announcements. Keep y'all in the mix about the stuff that we have coming up with myself, with the Self-Aware Millennial, and with all the other projects that are affiliated with the Self-Aware Millennial. All right, so in the mix. First things first, y'all know, in the mix, Jesus Christ Superstar. We are opening in the next couple of weeks. By the time this episode comes out, we'll be about 2 weeks out. If y'all didn't know, I'm playing Judas, which is the frenemy of Jesus. Hello. And I'm going to be singing my ass off. And I hope that y'all actually, I might be singing with my ass out too, because I'm going to be doing it in burlesque. And I'll be starring with all of my friends from Loyola are like in it as well. So it's really fun. And Pat, as y'all know, is playing Jesus. It's going to be one night only, Good Friday, March 29th at the Always Lounge. Get your tickets now in burlesque at inburlesque.eventbrite.com. And I hope that y'all enjoy it. We're working really hard, and I think we're all, the anticipation is it's getting there now because we're in March, and It's funny also because there's another production of Jesus Christ Superstar happening at the same time that's happening out of Jefferson Performing Arts Society. We're going to go try to see that one too, but I just kind of find that interesting that, well, actually it's not very interesting because Jesus Christ Superstar is usually always performed around like the Easter area
of the calendar year.
It's very common, but yeah. Jesus Christ Superstar, come check it out.
Eric.
Yep. Second thing is the next multi-hyphenate Monday, by the time this comes out, will be April 1st. We have special guests that we cannot talk about just yet. So the guest for that show is a surprise, surprise. Oh. And sorry, I just love anytime I want to tell somebody it's like a surprise or a secret or whatever, I have to take the opportunity. Show is going to be 10:30 p.m., like really late, also at the Always Lounge on a Monday. So get ready. Like, you coming. We're going to have a good time. And first and foremost, Multi-Hyphenate Monday. I think I talked about Multi-Hyphenate Monday on the last episode. I've been talking about it for the last couple episodes. Mm-hmm. This is a new show that Pat and I are producing out at Always Lounge. It is
a whole vibe. We get a chance to innovate and collaborate with new artists, not new artists, I'm sorry, artists that are new to each other majority of the time. Mm-hmm. Artists that do all different types of disciplines, things that we may not know that they do. So, for example, we've had a drag performer who comes in and does like stand-up comedy for the first time or something like that. We feature their other talents outside of the thing that most people know them for.
Such a great concept. I love that so much.
It feels like roulette, you know, because you don't know what you're going to get. And you usually see these people as one thing, but like you see them doing something else. It's like, oh, interesting. Like you get to see like they're more of like the fullness of who they are. And I like when we have our interviews with them, like kind of finding out like, okay, so what came first? What came first, the chicken or the egg? But no, like finding out like how they got to this point and maybe why they chose their particular discipline over another. Mm. 'Cause I've found that like the performances that we've gotten and their acts that they've done have all been extremely like good. And I'm just like, you sure you don't want to do this? That's like a supplemental source of income, like, but they're like, no, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna put this on the side. And I respect that. So Multi-Hyphenate Mondays, it's every first Monday of the month. Next one will be April 1st, and I hope y'all can check it out. mhmnola.eventbrite.com. Third, Triple Threat Media. So in case y'all didn't know, Triple Threat Media, which is my company, which is also producing this particular episode, we are doing a cool special right now, and I hope that by the time you are able to look at this, listen to this and watch this, that you'll be able to catch it. But we're doing 20% off of services until March 31st. So get that in there while you can. It can be with anything within the next, like from now until the end of the year. As long as you get it in by March 31st, then it's 20% off. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, sorry. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. If you listen to this episode and you like, I heard that you were putting, that you did this in the episode, and you, let's say you watch this episode like in November, I might cut you a deal.
Oh,
we'll see. We'll see about that. Yeah. Okay.
Clutch.
Yeah. So check that out. Triple Threat Media. More information in the link in the bio. Next thing. Health update, because also a lot of folks, I mentioned it on social media, mentioned it on probably even the podcast social media about like my health. Somehow I had like an allergic reaction of not too long ago and not sure what's going on. The update right now is that I still don't know what it is and what it caused it, but it basically like got me in hives and like shortness of breath and like puffy eyes and mouth and everything. I look like I had Botox for a couple of days, but I'm good now. And I'm going to be getting tested really soon. So I just wanted to thank everybody who helped me out with just like the encouragement. And also because I had to miss like 3 days of work, I was like, y'all, like if you got anything, like really help. So I appreciate everybody that kind of reached out and did that, 'cause that was really helpful. Taking it easy. 'Cause I mean, it could be a food allergy, but I also think it could be, I've had hives before and it was stress related. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't feel stressed and I feel like I've been doing a lot of rest and I'm intentionally resting, there's still part of me that's like, maybe you are doing too much.
I mean, you're doing a lot.
I am doing a lot. I am. Mean,
it's all a part of just figuring out how to manage it, you know?
Yeah. I think I'm intentionally just taking more time off to kind of offset that so it doesn't happen again, but still just taking precaution. I'm gonna see if it's a food allergy though. I really hope it's a food allergy, but also we're just gonna bet it's a food allergy. All right,
food allergy. That's my story.
Yeah, so that's basically all of my announcements. Thank y'all for tuning into that. Let's officially introduce Sakina Dawes.
Hi,
Sakina. Funnily enough, we met through her wife, Kayla. I work with Kayla, and Kayla was like, we were doing the Santa Don't Want Your Cookies. Like, we were at the store recording, like, it was a news segment. And that's where I think I met Kayla, because Kayla was working that day and told me about Dots Dads Productions. You got your digital media company, like, and I was like, I need that. I need that now. Yeah. And so I got Kayla's information, and then like we met, had a conversation, and then all of a sudden, like, found out that you worked with my mom, and then like everything started coming together.
Yeah, just a big avalanche of like, so we know each other, but...
We knew each other, but through our mother. Like, through my mom. Through our mother, yes, basically. Literally. Sakina used to work with my mom, and, like, my mom would always talk about you, talk about, like, how you're doing comedy and shows and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, you want to come? You want to go to the show? Da, 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 da. And, like, I know that she was telling you about me as well.
All the time, girl. Yeah. Literally all the time. I was like, I know this girl.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Never met her, never seen her, but I know her. So
yeah, so it's just funny and wonderful how like our paths have crossed in this way. And I will say that just from the little bit of time that I've actually known you, like I could completely understand how my mom gravitated towards you. And like you're very creative. Sakina is a producer of a wonderful show at the Actors of Pocket Theory called Retro Shade, and it's like comedy roast. But like in astrology style, so like every y'all do like show like once a month, right? And like it's themed. Every theme is a different astrology sign. So this last one was Pisces, and like you just basically roast Pisces the entire time.
So
I'm talking about your show, but you could definitely talk your show.
I want to hear like how you experience it. That's always like that's my number one thing. Is like what does the consumer, what does the guest feel and see when they step in?
I see when I can give you a whole visual. So first and foremost, Actors of Pocket Theory. I will say first and foremost, I had never been there before, but I've always seen pictures, and I'm like, ooh, this place looks like very like you see the. Like the black walls and like the green plants and like in gold like pots or whatever. Like you'd be seeing like it'd be looking like that kind of place. But like it's also a spot where like actors can like come and record their reels and take pictures and just do whatever they need to do in order to like be in their creative element. So it's a multi-purpose space, I find. And I knew that. I had never been there, but I knew that. So I knew that walking into the space, I was like, okay, this place already feels curated for artists, for actors, for people that are presentationally on stage with an audience, whether they are behind the camera or actually like presently there. Anyway.
Yes, so okay.
I'm walking in already, and you know, first things first. Wonderful host says, hey, you have your ticket?
Just
I was like, no, I don't have my ticket. But, you know, it's okay. Like, do y'all have space? And they're like, yeah, we have space. Okay, I'm not going to go that far into it. But the point is that, like, I love... Okay, so one thing that I really enjoy about your show is that I love the little trinkets that we get.
Oh, yeah.
I love the... goodie bags. They're like goodie bags.
Yeah, just a little goodie bag.
But the goodie bag, it contains a gemstone, right?
It's one that is associated with that sign.
And I'm like, I love this because I'm a tangible person. I like tangible things, and like during each show, like I just be holding it whole time. I don't know what it is.
Kayla and I, we are very much like a texture girly.
Hands on.
We like to just play with things in our hands. So that was very intentional because first of all, we just have crystals everywhere in our home. But
I love that.
That's just something that we enjoy, is holding them, playing with them, feeling the texture, the smoothness. Like it's just an enjoyable experience overall is what we're trying to curate. Like we want to touch as many senses as possible so that you're like completely immersed in this.
And that's the way to do it, because on top of the gemstones, y'all, they have a signature drink for each show, okay? And y'all have Yes Cocktail, like, doing that, which is amazing. So, like, you get there, right? You already have everything all set up. The vibes are there, right? And then Sakina comes out in, like, themed outfit for that particular, like just embodying that show and that sign. I think you're going, I mean, I don't, I will be honest. I don't know too much about astrology. I know enough because I know like people's signs and I can like kind of compare and contrast, but like I don't be like into the moons and Mercury's and all that. But I know enough to like keep up.
Right.
But like Sakina, this last show was in like silver with like, it was given like Beyonce.
Like it was given
Beyonce like, silver.
Yeah, Renaissance vibes.
Renaissance.
So what I really was going for was like kind of like Y2K cowgirl type feel. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going for.
But so, someone said Lil Nas X and then I couldn't
girl,
unsee it.
Girl,
I could not see
Lil Nas X took me and I took it. I took it. Because I couldn't even be mad at that.
Yeah, no, I said I looked at it, I was like, you know what? Yeah.
You're all right.
Well, let's divert. We are talking about gender roles.
Oh yeah.
Within this current society, which I will refer back to, did an episode kind of similar to this years ago with my friend Marlo. We talked about how gender doesn't even exist. But if y'all want to check that out, I think it's back in like the 30s or something like that. Ooh. So a couple of, 31 or something like that. I was trying to find the number and I just couldn't find it. But yeah, check that one out. It was a really innovative conversation. And I mean, I think that was back in like 2021. So we've come a long way in 3 years conversation. And I think it's people are a lot more accepting of it. But I think that in terms of like the gender roles not becoming more muffled now is just due to the fact that like the way our current, I don't want to say society. I'm thinking about more along the lines of like where we are, I think, as a collective financially and like just the roles that we have to like the many jobs that we have to take on just so that we can have a roof over our head.
Right.
Like it's not the same as it was when our mothers, our grandmothers were growing up, like where they just were able to take care of the house, the kids and the, it's different now. So I want to know from you, first and foremost, like, when was the first time that you felt, oh, they have me doing this thing, but I want to do this?
You like, know what in I mean? Terms of, like...
Yeah, like, you being
gender
boxed.
Structure.
Yeah.
Man, I can't say how old I was. I know I was pretty young, and I remember asking my dad, like, okay, like, I've been a girl now. Like, when am I going to be a boy? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not really... Like, I want to just do both.
Okay. Yeah.
And obviously, he did not take well to that question. He was like, girl, like, that's not happening. Don't even think about that. Don't talk about that. Like, chill.
Yeah.
And that was before the age of 7, I know for sure.
Yeah.
But
Was it something because like you were just like, okay, I'm tired of this. I don't want to play with these toys, or was it something along the lines of like just things that you were being forced to do, or like gifts that you were being given, or like,
you know, honestly, I think part of it was I grew up in the Islamic religion.
Oh,
yes, yeah,
got
so,
you. All yeah. right,
so I think that definitely was a big part of it because obviously the rules are very different. From male to female. And so just watching this happen around me, and I've always just kind of been like a very, I don't want to say critical, but I guess for lack of a better word, like I don't like to just take things as they are. Like I need to understand what's happening here. Why are we doing this? Like who said?
What's your sign again?
I'm a Cancer.
Okay, right, Cancer.
But I do have a Capricorn moon.
Okay.
Yeah, and a Libra rising, so...
Okay.
We got to talk about this.
Is Cancer a fire sign?
No, she's a water.
Water, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, okay. Got you.
Yeah, she's a water.
All right, just have to put that out there. Just make sure I'm... Okay.
Yeah, so it's just... I've always felt... And I'm saying felt, like, it's not even, like, it wasn't, like, a conscious thing, but it was just, like... Why so much separation? Like, literally, like, if you could tell me why this exists, then maybe I can get behind it. And that's usually how my brain works. Like, yeah. even if somebody does me wrong and you can explain to me, like, hey, this is what happened, this was my intention, like, 9 times out of 10, I'll be like, okay, cool.
Right.
Just because I just need to understand what the fuck is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been my biggest thing. Like, why are rules different for this person and not this one? Or, yeah. So that was mostly it. Is I just can't, okay. I need to understand this. And if it doesn't make sense, then I'm probably not gonna do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I that's wonderful. I think, especially at such a young age, already knowing like what, like, so when you were like, I need to know this thing, but you're not giving it to me, and they don't give it to you. What was your next step of action?
I think genuinely the step of action, it was not necessarily a step of action. I think I just kind of just withdrew.
Okay. And would you say you internalized it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for a while, like, I would conform for the most part, but still, like, I would always find a way to be, like, a little to the left, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just how I am naturally. Like, I cannot just go in a straight line. Like, I'm gonna peek over here. I might come back, but, like, I need to explore it. Mm-hmm. I need to, if I have a question about it, we need to figure something out. And if you can't help me, or if you make me feel bad about my curiosity, then I'm probably not going to come to you about it again. And I'm going to just go ahead and figure it out myself. So,
fair. I want to know, because I was talking about childhood, obviously. I love to know about, like, childhood first, because then that gives you a better understanding of, like, where folks are today, naturally. But now, how far you've come in terms of, like, how you see gender now in this day and age, and how, because here's my thing. I think with gender roles, we tend to see it in the mask and the femme, and like what mask things are and what femme things are. Would you consider yourself a combination of both? And I also think, because, you know, you're married to Kayla, and it's right. like, how do y'all, how does like what, which ones do y'all intertwine? Like, I'm really curious about that.
Yeah. So I think we kind of, yeah, it's kind of like a, we try to find harmony in it. Whatever, like, wherever I feel strongest and most confident is where I'm gonna go, and wherever she feels strongest and most confident is where she's gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that does look like traditional gender roles. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at me as a more masked person and her as a femme person, most of the time I'll pump the gas, for say. But that's mostly just because I don't want niggas looking at her at the gas station. That's my main thing. Like, I wanna keep her safe, not because, like, I'm the guy, but, like, because I love and care for her and I want her to be safe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, stuff like that.
And Kayla's so really beautiful, so I can see like...
Girl, do I, like, every day.
I can understand that. I completely understand that.
Like, Lord, and I'm like, I'm already this small, so, like, I don't, like, I will fight you, nigga, but I don't...
It's always the small ones, y'all, like, always. I'm so serious, like, y'all the ones that...
I don't like to. I do not, but I will.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. I will for the ones that I love and I care for and that I feel that I need to protect, even if that's going to put me in a bad situation. That's just, that's how I get down. And I'm sure you can relate to some degree.
I think I can relate. But actually, well, maybe not completely, but I think I can relate as being like a woman or someone that some people find conventionally attractive. Like, you are going to be hit on more just for existing, unfortunately. Right. And people don't care.
And
I was yesterday, I was walking down my neighborhood because I needed some fresh air. They had some Hispanic dude in Spanish just walking near me, like on the street, like saying stuff in Spanish about me.
Ugh,
and then he was like, no habla español. I was like, no. And he's like, some bonita. And I was like, thank you. And I kept walking, but like, he was saying stuff to me as I was walking.
Yeah,
I didn't know everything, but I was like, I know he's like just saying these nasty, like, things in, and I just kept walking. I was like, I cannot believe, I'm just trying to go around the block. I'm trying to get some fresh air.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I just, and I know how that can mess with your brain. Like, if you're just literally just trying to exist, mind your business, and like now somebody is here harassing you. I'm trying to enjoy the fresh air. Yeah, like, yeah, nobody wants to deal with that. Mm-mm. So yeah, if I could just nip that in the bud, absolutely.
Yeah, just, there needs to be a lot more people like you out there. We need Sakina clones.
I mean, to be honest.
Get a Sakina. Put Sakina clones in a doll.
Yeah, Sakina clones. If I could get another 3 inches on my height, if y'all could like modify that in some way, that would be cool.
Oh man.
But yeah, I guess to more thoroughly answer your question, it's just kind of like an ebb and flow thing. Like, and I guess to get a little more explicit, like,
I love explicit.
Yeah, during like sex or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's we both do all things.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's just kind of like, I find that people sometimes get really stuck and rigid in like, I'm a man or I'm a girl, and so this is how I'm supposed to behave, not yep. only outside of the bedroom but in the bedroom,
right?
And those don't have to, like, they don't have to correlate. Exist. Yeah,
we just trying to get ours and, like, and literally then go about our day,
literally.
And it don't have to. You don't have to do it in any structured way.
You literally don't. And there's no shame in any of it. If you are with a partner who's like, okay, cool, I'm cool with this, and you like, cool, I'm cool with this, then you cool. Like, yeah. I just, like, for the life of me, I cannot, like, I get it. I understand, like, what's been taught to us systemically and all these things. But, like, I am always an advocate. Like, when I'm with my guy friends, I be like, nigga, sometimes you could let her put her thumb in your ass. Like,
yeah, you like, might actually like it.
Like, you literally might like it.
You might
like it. You literally might. And if you don't, okay, cool. We don't have to talk about it again.
Yeah.
But why, like.
All I'm going to say on that, and I mean, I'm just commenting on this because as many thumbs as I put, like, every single one, like, but you got to know how to do it.
Right.
You got to know how to do it right. And I think the people that are on the receiving end of that need, I think they have to be in a mindset to know, like, this does not mean that I am gay or da 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 da.
Right.
Like, but if they are past that and they're just like, I'm just trying to have a good time, I'm trying to feel good, then, like, you good. But, like, a lot of people have to get past that mental first.
Mm-hmm. We're very stuck in boxes in how we, and I mean, obviously we have to find ways to make life make sense to us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do think in doing so, we have really, really restricted ourselves from being able to experience
the fullness of what our bodies can do.
That's it.
Point blank, period.
That's it. And that, yeah, and it's not, and I'm speaking about guys, but it's not only guys, it's women too.
Yeah. It's women too.
Yeah. Seriously, yep. Guys, like, just try, like, try it.
Try it, and like try it more than once, because the first time, sometimes.
And try it with somebody that you trust. Yep. Find somebody that you trust. Build relationships, y'all. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, that's part of the problem. Is like, I'm not about to try something that I am already uncomfortable with somebody that I'm not comfortable with.
Right.
So you're never going to give yourself the space and opportunity to try something different if you are never building a relationship to make yourself feel safe and just vulnerable enough to do that. So, yeah. I don't know.
What would you say, advice-wise, for folks that maybe want to decolonize their gender a little bit? Let's say they've lived a certain way and they're like, you know what, I have time, let's play around. What would be like one of the first things that you would say that they should probably venture into, maybe practices, activities to help them dismantle that?
Honestly, and this is gonna sound, I don't know, maybe a little unconventional, but like dancing.
Okay.
Finding like a way to like dance sensually that makes you feel charged in that way. Mm-hmm. And almost allows you to kind of like just relax, essentially, like get out of your head. And so you're not like feeling all rigid, but you're just like, okay, this feels good for my body. And so now I can find another thing that feels good for my body.
I didn't even think about dancing. Mm-hmm. Dancing, because like dancing, even for me, sometimes dancing is a structured thing because I am a dancer.
Right.
And so it's kind of like Yeah, but like one, I only two, dance. Three, four, five, six. I only dance in certain spaces for certain reasons, and sometimes I don't always dance just to dance. Mm-hmm. And I know I have friends who like just want to go dance every single day, or every night, or every weekend. And then there's peoples in other different cultures around the world, like. My Brazilian friends, like, they be dancing all the time until 4 a.m. And so it's like, it's just the way, culturally, it's just like, that's just how they let loose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it gets to the point where it's just like, I'm enjoying watching y'all dance, but they're like, no, you need to be up too. Everyone, nobody is sitting down. Like everyone has to be dancing. And it makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, y'all not about to force me to dance. Yes. But I understand, like, then I thought about it. I was just like,
but why not?
Like, why not? But also, like, depending on culturally where you are, just the way that we see certain things are just some is like, some of it is just like bread and butter. Like, it's something, it's natural. And mm-hmm. other things you have to actually, it's like something you have to like work for. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You said that and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Dance Seriously. Is good. That's
dancing
really good.
Is like, and it's something that even I struggle with, just because I have like, this is so it's kind of stupid, but so I have a little bit of like dance trauma. But it's not a big thing. It's just like I tried out for a dance team in school and I didn't get it, essentially. And then that kind of just made me be like, all right. I'm just going to do sports. And then that's what I did. And so I've been trying to find myself back in a space where I feel good. Because that's something I genuinely love to do. It's something that I'm naturally good at. But I, like, pushed it out of my life for so long that it now is a struggle for me to do it, like, openly and, like, be able to connect with my body in that way.
Yeah.
So I think that it just really is important. And I speak this wholeheartedly. I think it's very important for us to just move your body, like just dance and feel good and not think about it.
Yeah, I think to piggyback off of that, we were you're talking about dance team, didn't make dance team. You were probably having to learn a routine mm-hmm. and remember things in your head and how to like communicate it with your body.
Yeah.
Dancing is not necessarily just that though. Right. Dancing can be that, or it can be just whatever your body feels.
Right.
And also, it's kind of like singing. People are like, oh, I'm not a dancer. I'm like, you are a dancer if you have ever moved to music before.
Right.
But, you know, we, again, especially here, we get caught up in our heads about, you know, what we look like, what mm-hmm. other people see us looking like.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for my white folks, I'm really, I apologize, because I know that, black, especially if you see a black person or somebody with rhythm that you maybe think has rhythm and you know they're looking at you and you get all self-conscious, like, please understand that I won't say I'm one of those people, but like I will say that, like, I even if you're not on the beat, even if you are off, if you're having a good time, like, I'm having a good time with you.
Oh my god, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm that's like I
that's all that is.
Love that so much. Like, if you are having a good time, mm-hmm. I'm having a good time watching you have a good time. Like, yeah. I don't care. Like, as long as you're not hurting nobody, you were like, I get so much joy from just watching people just do what the, like, you, I don't, I just can't even express, like, because I understand, like, how hard it is sometimes to find that space of, like, I feel good. I'm going to do this no matter what, no matter what space I'm in. Like, that is just so inspirational to me, man. Like,
yeah.
Like, I love it. And I was, I don't know if you're familiar with comedian Sam J, but she just recently did a special. And she had a bit where she basically talks about how white people don't be on beat. And she was like, she was at the park one day and she was on shrooms and she had a revelation. She was watching these people dance, not on beat. Mm-hmm. And she was like, wow, all this time I have been a slave to the beat. They don't care about the beat. I'm
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. You are so right.
They do what the fuck they want to do and they having a great time, girl. We the ones sitting up here like 5, 6, 7, 8. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Oh man, oh, that's definitely something to think about.
Come on now.
White, hold on, that's gonna be the clip. I'm thinking to myself, wow, we are a slave to the beat.
Like that's just. I'm sorry, but she hit that one. I was like, what?
I like that.
Yeah.
And something else you said, and I know we were gonna actually talk about this. Like we talked about this before we started recording, but. You mentioned something along the lines of like being comfortable with who you are, no matter like, I'm trying to get back to it.
Yeah,
we were talking about like, okay, what I'm, okay, let me just divert
just
and then get back.
Say what you feel. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna divert and go back. But we were talking about just being producers of shows and having uncertainties about like how it went because we are like thinking about other things and we have a whole audience here that's experiencing something probably completely different than what you're experiencing on stage because you're trying to make sure it's structured and you have everything in your head, blah, 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 blah. But like they're enjoying it naturally as it is. I'm still trying to get back to the parallel of what we were just talking about, but okay. What I want to know, I know we're kind of diverting from generals, maybe we can put it back in there. We'll know. We'll see.
We'll see.
I want to know like. This is hard because I'm like asking you and I'm also asking myself this too.
Oh, I love that.
And I'm like, how, first and foremost, where did that come from? Where does that uncertainty come from? And why is it hard to live presently then? Because you've now put this pressure on yourself to make sure that everything is perfect, even though perfection first and foremost does not exist. But also my phone just let me talk. My phone just did the thing and it's keeping me off track. This is a very expanded roundabout big question, so I'm trying to condense it right now. What I'll say is that like it's first and foremost, just hard to produce anything. And the fact that we are able to just have the opportunity to do it and make people feel good and people want to come out and come see our stuff is a testament to the impact that we as people are, that like they're trusting and saying, yeah, like I will definitely come and come see this because like this. And
not only that, but spend their hard-earned money to come.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
but we know how it is out here. So like the fact that y'all are paying to come see us do just get off of these talents, like it's just yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. So like how does that make you feel? Like does it give you any type of imposter syndrome?
Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, just because like I have not been doing comedy long. I've not even been doing comedy 2 years yet.
For real?
Yeah.
I would have never known that.
So yeah, I get imposter syndrome all the time, like all the time. I can't even tell you, like, yeah, it's kind of crazy. And I'm shocked, y'all.
I'm shocked. I did not know that.
Yeah.
What got you into it?
Okay, so a few things, really. One, I just kind of have always been just a naturally goofy part. Like I can't really take things seriously unless my feelings get hurt, then we're gonna have something to talk about. But otherwise, like I'm just always just very jovial and like I just make jokes out of everything.
Kind of have to, you know.
literally. So that was kind of one that's just been who I am. And then I've kind of bounced around from thing to thing. I had not really found a thing. Like I graduated college, and I was doing, at the time I was in fitness. So I was doing personal training, kickboxing, instructing, stuff like that.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that was great. Like I had, been in athletics from the time I was 10 all the way to this, you know, I told you that I'm going to do sports, and I did sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I did sports all the way through college.
Yeah.
And when I finished college, I was like, well, shit, what to do now?
Yeah.
And so I just kind of naturally went into fitness because that was what felt like it aligned at the time.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was great. It was great opportunities, met great people, and I stayed in great shape. So, you know, but then COVID hit. all the gyms shut down, and I was like, oh.
Uh-oh. I know, right? Oh, gotta get creative now.
Right. So, yeah.
To the park, I go.
Yeah, we did a couple things. We did a few things, and then at a point, I was like, girl, this is not what you're really trying to do for the rest of your life. Like, mm-hmm. genuinely, this is not what you're trying to do. This was your safe pick, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so I left that, and almost 2 years ago, I started watching Mrs. Maisel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've seen clips. Okay. I know of it.
Well, yeah. So I started watching that. I watched it, right at the beginning of COVID, mm-hmm. and then I watched it again, a few years later, because mm-hmm. I think it had a renewed season or something like that. So mm-hmm. I started over, and I just started really connecting with the character for some reason that time. Like, mm-hmm. the first time I didn't, but that time I just, was really connecting with her. And it was all good. Like, it was a great show. I love it. So sad that it's over, but wonderful, wonderful show. And also at that time, I was talking to my mom, and I was just telling her about the show. And I also was explaining to her that I had just recently taken one of those personality quizzes or whatever, and it mm-hmm. said that I was an extrovert. And all my life, I had just been like, I'm an introvert. Like, that's, yeah, like, I don't talk to me, like, I'm good. And I hold a mixture of both. That's just kind of, like, my life is just kind of about the duality of existence. Yeah. If there's both, I'm probably both. Yeah. So, and she was like, no, girl, you are like an entertainer. Like, I don't know. Like, you're an extrovert. You like, and I was like, well, like,
you could be an extrovert and introvert though.
Right.
That's what I am.
That's what I feel as well. Because I was explaining to you earlier, I receive energy from people. Especially like if we're just all having a good time, mm-hmm. like, girl, I feel so filled up. Like, everybody's just feeling okay.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's feeling good. We're having a good time. Like, I feel so filled up by that. I feel so charged up by that. But I also need my time and space to just be like, please, y'all, leave me alone. Like, mm-hmm. I just need to zone in.
You need
in.
Time to recharge.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. After she said that, I was just like, okay, find time to tell me. But, cool. I'll, you know, just tuck that. And one day I just decided, I told Kayla, I was like, I think I'm going to try comedy this year, like probably like by my birthday or something like that. I said, yeah, my birthday is in July. And I was telling her this in like, I don't know, maybe like May or June or mm-hmm. something like that. and then I reached out to a guy on Facebook. I saw that he was a comedian. I was like, hey, is there like, how do I do this? Like, what is this?
Yeah,
and he told me to come out to an open mic. We were just gonna chat, and he was just gonna let me know how things work, essentially. And so I went there, and Kayla and I were talking. And I was like, "Yeah, girl, like I'm not about to get on stage." Because she asked me, she was like, "Are you going?" And I was like, "No, like I don't even have anything prepared. Like, I've never done this. I've never written anything. I've never done this. So I'm not going on stage. I'm just going to talk."
Yeah.
And I got there, and then everybody was just like, no, girl, you gotta go. Like, you just have to do it. Like, you just have to do it for the first time. Like, in order to, like, you can't just say, like, I'm gonna do it. Like, you literally.
You just have to do it.
Yeah. So, I went inside, and I put my name on the list, and I did about 2.5 minutes of just whatever the hell came to me, and I was like, oh, okay.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love hearing stories about just how like things especially if you can remember like how things come about.
Mm-hmm.
To say you've only done it for 2 years, that's crazy.
Now I will say though, when I was doing like kickbox instructing,
yeah,
I feel like I was preparing for this because I was teaching classes and I would always like just kind of drop jokes in or like just to keep the energy up. And so I just really, like, I always think back to that and be like, that time and space was so special for me. And I think part of it was not only the people that I met, but because it really did set me up for this.
Yeah.
So,
kickboxing to comedian.
Hello.
Huh. Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more with Sakina about some more things that I actually have questions about.
Cute.
So, all right. Well, I'll see y'all in a little second.
Is this conversation speaking to you right now? Do you feel the self-awareness taking over your body like a real good song? I want you to make a mental note to share the Self-Aware Millennial podcast with someone you love, because sharing is caring and love is not possessive. Sorry, y'all, but y'all can't have it to yourself. But for real, y'all know how good it feels when someone shares with you, whether it's their resources, their food, their wisdom, or their spouse. Okay, well, some of us. Spread the love. Decapitalize your mind and practice the gift of sharing. And want to help us reach new audiences? Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you're feeling extra giving, leave a compliment. Come on, you know you want to. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey, y'all, we're back. And we're going to continue this conversation. Funnily enough, I went to go see a ballet last night. It was like this Cuban-inspired ballet done by GPS, the artist, the guitarist on Instagram. I don't know why I'm blanking. The name is in my head. For some reason, I can't pronounce it. But also, like, is amazing composer. But had these ballet artists. It was like more of like a modern. It was like a modern ballet. But like there was this one number that they did where like they were all, everyone, masks and femmes, just in these really beautiful like frilly dresses and like twirling around the stage, looking like just the confidence that exuded between like every single person. Like you forgot that they were wearing dresses,
like
at all of them.
And that's the whole thing, is like it's the confidence,
it's how you wear it.
That's what you're dressing, is your confidence. Yes. That literally is it. Like I just heard a quote the other day, or read a quote that said, I feel like an artist when I get dressed.
Yes.
And I was like, that's it. Like this, yes, is just, it's just art. Like,
yeah,
it's just a way that you are presenting. And I guess if you want to present like I'm big bad and whatever, yeah, I mean, I guess if that's
what makes you comfortable,
right? But I just want everyone, like my biggest hope for everyone is to be open to the fact that what you are doing currently may not be what you truly desire in any aspect. That's,
I felt that.
Yeah,
no, that's true though. I mean, I think we get to a point in our lives where we think, oh, this is it. Mm-hmm. Or not. Well, I take that back. No, I think we just stop trying. We eventually get to a point where we're just like, oh, well, oh, I'm this age now. I guess I got to start working on this. And then you forget all the other things that maybe you still want to do. Like, I think we box our, like we were saying earlier, we kind of box ourselves in and we go with the flow of like naturally what everyone else is around us, at least what we think that they're doing. And I think it's a lot easier for us to, with social media, we think that people are living a certain way when they're actually not.
Right.
But, I'm gonna think about that. I'm gonna settle on that.
Yeah. And also, like, if you think of that and then you're like, I am okay, I'm cool with the life that I'm living. It may not be my greatest desire, but I'm cool with this.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Like, yeah, absolutely great. Like, I can't relate personally. But like I respect that and I love that for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just is like me personally, I'm somebody that's gonna always keep searching. I'm gonna keep trying to find whatever it is that's bringing me joy, whatever fills me up. I'm gonna keep doing
it. And it's
that.
Gonna evolve. Like it's not going to stay the same. Like that's the wonderful thing about just living. Like you're gonna be in one season where you know this is filling you up, and then all of a sudden it's not, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll try something else and see what else fills me up. Like, but I think it's important, and I think especially as you get older, you know how you see like the older folks that like are presented, they obviously physically may look older, but like their character, everything else about them is young, and they're curious and want to, like, you know, the 90-year-olds that graduate from college, you know, like those people.
Yes.
Like that's my inspiration. I want folks like until the last day I'm here on this earth, I want curiosity about life. You know what I mean?
Because, yeah, like why? I feel like once the curiosity stops, you stop living for real. Like,
yeah.
you at this point, it's just kind of like you are
living in the past.
Yeah, you're simulating mm-hmm. over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Is how I view it. Yeah. But again, like I said, no disrespect to anybody that chooses to, you know, to live a life that I guess is adjacent to something like that. But yeah. that's just not what I see for myself. So
you are very much like me, Takena. You really are. We are like two peas in a pod.
Hey,
I'm
now.
Just saying. Hey, I mean, I'm now. A Sagittarius, which is a fire sign, but like.
But honestly, I don't know. Lately, me and Sagittariuses have been like.
Right. I forgot Kayla's Sagittarius.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think it's. My dad was a Sagittarius, so okay. maybe that's his like energy trying to make sure it's around. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh man. I think I'm also like, I think creatively, this is what I want to talk to you about. Because you have such a creative aspect to yourself too. Outside of comedy, outside of you say you did sports and everything, but like, I don't know, like we kind of talked about it at the beginning, but like we were talking about Dazit Productions, Dazit Productions, and then also Dots Daz Digital, which is your marketing company mm-hmm. where you do digital communications for different people, clients, and social media marketing, everything. And I don't know who the creative eye was behind it, either it was you or Kayla, but like I went to your website and I was like, this looks great.
What?
And so I'm just like, okay, I want to know more about like where your if it was you, I don't know. I never found out. I never knew. But I'm like, creative eye, where did it come from? What are your influences? Like, where did that come from? Because like, and how long was that? And like, when did you actually start tapping into that?
Okay. So number one, you're going to have to do an episode with Kayla.
Okay.
That's just off top. a lot of the, I would say probably 75 to 80% of the art, like digital artwork that you see comes from Kayla's like inception, conception.
That's wonderful.
Like, yeah. Dots Digital is her brainchild. That was her, like, and I can't stress this enough. She's really great. Like, she's really great to me. We both were in a space where we were like, okay, we don't want to continue to work for anybody. That is just like, we just can't do, like, we cannot mm-hmm. live the life that we are trying to live working
for somebody else.
Like, that is just what it was. And I had started doing comedy and we want to start moving around in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at a 9-to-5 job and she just kind of kept getting sick. Like, the job just kept making her sick. And we were like, mm-hmm. okay, we have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so she just decided, I went off on like a vacation one day. And she also took like a little bit of a vacation for herself. And that is kind of what came of that. And she was just like, this is kind of what I think will be the way for us to get the freedom that we need. So I give all credit to her for that. I definitely, like, I am the second in that regard. Mm-hmm. I know that I am seen a lot, but she does a lot of the work behind the scenes.
But y'all work so well together.
Yeah. And like, yeah, like I said, I do my thing sometimes. You know, I do my thing.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that you see like on your page, that's probably like half and half us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think I mentioned that, y'all. so Daz Digital is currently curating much of the content that is on Self Aware Millennials Instagrams and Facebook right now. So definitely check it out. Yeah. Like, they are doing so good. It just feels so good to like not have to worry about it. And you know who I am, you know like what things I would put on there if it would like, and y'all got that. And I was like, and I could go on and do something else.
That means so much to like it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But it is just so rewarding when we get on these calls with y'all and y'all are like, bro, this is just relieving me so much. Because that's part of it. Like, we wanted to relieve ourselves, but we also want to relieve others.
Yes.
Like, we were realizing that there is kind of like, there's a deficit in the comedy scene for sure of like marketing and like
there
presenting
is.
Yourself. Like, and so we were just like, if we could find a way to, one, be the example and then also give these resources, that's better for all of us.
Yep.
So yeah, it's where and it's crazy because this is also something that we literally just start. Like I told you, I started comedy not even 2 years ago, and this started after this started last August. In August, yeah. So, I mean, we have been again honing these skills like in past jobs and things, and
and it all accumulates, and you realize you can do this. You've basically been doing. You just gotta. That's how I feel about Triple Pair Media. Like I feel like I've just been doing this the whole time and just not under my own entity.
You're right.
And now, like listening to you, and you are younger than I am, and like it's inspirational to me. Like I don't know. I want to be you when I grow up.
Oh my God! No.
Yeah.
She's got some work to do, but I do appreciate it.
Well, you got a lot of time to do the work too. Aww. I'm just saying, like, you always gonna have more time than I do.
Hello.
But I don't know, like I've really been inspired by everything that I've already seen from what you have been doing, and like just the vibes that you are curating, what you are bringing into this city and the comedy scene.
Aww.
I don't know. I just love just seeing people that are very similar to myself creatively, doing the same type of work, and like already on that having empathy, because I know how, like, I'm like, when I go to these shows, when I go to your shows, I'm like, I know how long this must have taken. Yes. Contacting all of these people to make sure they, and then like the goodie bags, like how long that may have taken, and then like,
and like it's
the
crazy.
Whole yeah, the back end work of like the ticketing and like thanking people for coming and giving them the discount if come with the codes. I was like, they have it down packed. Like, and you know, like, I don't know. Like, I'd be looking at that because I'm like, I'm the producer in me. It's just like,
thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And that means so much because, I mean, not only are you a consumer, but you are a producer. And so you do understand like the work that it's work.
Yes,
it's work, but it just
it's work to curate vibes out here,
man. But we just love to do it. We can't help ourselves. Like we just literally we cannot. Like Retro Shade is Retro Shade because that is Sakina and Kayla. Like,
yep,
I can't. That's the only way that I can put it.
This is not the end of the podcast, by the way. I just have so many praises to give to Sakina, and I guess what I wanna know, like, what do you feel is on your radar for upcoming things in terms of maybe Retro Shade or maybe something that now you were itching to do that's Ooh. Coming up? Yeah, I want to know about that. If you have anything.
Okay, so I have a few things that I don't know. One, we just want to keep growing Retro Shade. We just want to grow it. We want to hopefully be able to like put it into Retro Shade will be in a few festivals this summer.
Cool.
So that's super cool, but we want to like take it on the road and just make it as big as it could possibly be.
Yeah.
Like that's our number one goal. Well, be as big as it can possibly be while still aligning with who we are.
Right.
That.
Yeah.
Also, something that I've not said out loud, so I'm saying it to everybody. I think I want to get into drag.
Yeah, let's go. Okay.
Yeah, I don't
you
know.
You have the perfect location. I'm just saying the location we are in right now recording this, like, we got you.
I think that's what inspired me to actually say something because I was like, I don't know. This is the safest space, I think, to go ahead and say to the world, I don't know when, but one day you may see me on a drag stage. I don't know. But I've just been...
Do you have any ideas of, like, what you want to do? Like, you know, like...
So I feel... Okay. I do have a little bit. I've been thinking a little bit of, like, I kind of want to do... Again, I want to find a way to mash up the duality of mask and femme. I was feeling like... I know... You know Dreamgirls.
Yes.
I feel like I want my style to be, like, Jimmy Early.
Okay.
Okay. but like also like very sensual in like movement and song choice.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm gonna do that, but that's like that's my I don't know.
No. That I don't know, when I'm thinking, I said vibe curator, but like, I don't know, like I could see the vibe already that you were going for in that. I think you'd be great at that. And another cool thing about drag is just like, at least for me, or not, I don't do drag, but like from what I've seen of drag, it's, I like the creativity in it, and you don't, it's different than telling jokes. It's different than like you already have curated this ahead of time, and you just got to make sure that, you know, you're, if you're singing anything, that you have the same lyrics as whatever the singer, whatever. But I think you'd be great at it.
Okay. I'll see. I'm still working on getting comfortable in my body for real. Like, not that I've not been in the same body my whole life, but like, I think at a certain point I did like detach from it somehow, or like dissociate.
In what way? Like disassociating in terms of just like being feeling connected to it?
Yeah. Like I had not really, one, it wasn't really a thing for me to be like intentionally connected to my body, even though I was an athlete. It was more so like of what the goal is, not like making my body, like making or having a connection with my body in order to get to the goal. It was just more so like, do these things to get to the goal. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So it was, and that was part of the reason why I left fitness as well, is like, I was feeling like I was commodifying, is that the word?
Commodifying
my body in a way that like didn't really resonate. It was just like my body has to look this certain way in order for me to, you know, like appear to people that I know what the hell I'm talking about.
And, right. Ooh.
And it did a lot for me.
I just had that conversation. The episode I did with Mary, because she was talking about like, you know, being owners of gym, of a gym, but you know, people look at her and they're like, you sure?
Right. Seriously.
But like, bodies come in all different shapes and sizes, and like they can do, like I know some folks, like I was literally, there was a video yesterday, this person had to be maybe 250 maybe 300 pounds doing backflips, like gymnastics, backflips backwards, tumbles, and blah 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 blah, like, and getting it. And I was like, okay, there's no excuse,
because no, like
I bodies are, they can do so much.
So much.
They can do.
You just gotta stop boxing them up. Stop.
And you don't have to box them up. You don't have to look a certain way in order to do something.
Hello.
Hello. But
come on.
Yeah. I know.
Just keep dropping. I'm trying to catch all the gems, but they just.
But I'm thinking. I was also thinking about. I mean, this is not the. Okay, so I was talking about the ballet earlier. The only critique I kind of had with the ballet was obviously like, I was like, man, it would have been really nice to see some like bigger bodies on that stage. And I know so many bigger bodies that could eat the shit out of the movements that they were doing.
Yeah.
But they weren't there. And I was like, that's the only thing I kind of wish that was represented.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, I think it's not... That's not my fault. It's not the fault of anyone that's on the stage, the performers or anything. You know, it's just something that I like, I know in the back of my head, because I know people that do this, that make careers out of it, that are what we consider dancers, that may not like present physically as one, because we think dancers have to look a certain way. And this goes back into like the whole boxing and genders and all of the stuff that we were talking about earlier. I guess to kind of close out, I'd like to know exactly like, I'm trying to find like a good closer. Like a good closer to like go out on that y'all can think about and maybe even come back in the comments and ask me about later. I guess for the future folks out there, folks that are maybe not even living yet,
okay,
that may see this, and maybe gender is not even a thing at that point. I guess I want to know, let's say, first and foremost, are you and Kayla going to, if you have kids or interest in having kids, have y'all thought about like roles at all in terms of mask and film, or like how that even would work? You think it would probably work the same way that it currently is, or
yeah, I think we, okay, well, we don't, at this current moment, we are not pro children.
Okay.
Yeah, we are just kind of trying to figure our own things out, and yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, we're just like, we, one, the climate, the actual physical climate, but also the social climate. Mm-hmm. I don't know how comfortable I feel just like intentionally bringing a child into this. It's a little bit of a mess.
I feel that the same way.
Yeah, so that just like on a bigger scale, but also on an individual scale, we just are still trying to figure so many things out that we just don't feel that it would serve us or a child right now to have one.
Yeah.
But we have had a couple conversations, and I mean, essentially our philosophy is as we live. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just kind of whatever, what feels good for you. If it feels good for you to be the man, quote unquote, then mm-hmm. cool. If it feels good for you to be genderless, cool. Like whatever, literally whatever works for you in a way that is not harmful to anybody else mm-hmm. works for me.
Point blank, period.
Yeah.
Cool. I think, I guess I wonder with the children of the future, I'm wondering like if there will naturally be a shift in like, I guess I don't even have the words for it because it's like actually hasn't happened yet, but I feel like I'm seeing it now with like Gen Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And like the like I see them, ooh. Oh man, I can't like say all this. I can't even get, because these are still kids. These are still children, so I can't like be like, and this kid, I know this kid's name is this. Like, I can't do that. So, but I can see it even as like, I can see little kids who may present as like boys and or like a girl, that I can see them wanting to do other things already.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on who their parent is or who their environment is around, I can see them like toying with like,
mm-hmm.
like this color pink is for girls, blue is for boys, or whatever, like, but you know, they still like, it's hard for me to watch them like want to do the other thing.
Yes.
But like stick to the mm-hmm. stick to what they know is going to be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, these kids are like 4 or 5 years, like young.
Yeah.
And they already are like, so it's kind of like, okay, so how can we, as we are right now, how can we feel like, give them that safe space to just be like, it is okay if you play with that, or if you pick this doll up, or if you want to wear this particular color or watch this particular show, go to this party, have this experience. How would you go about that? Maybe with like, not necessarily a child. Talking to the child. The child is like already looking up to you. They trust you. But how do you approach it with maybe their parents or their guardians or people that they are around?
I try not to tell nobody how to raise their children, just because you already know how people feel about that. Mm-hmm. So I mostly just try to like lead by example when I interact with the child,
mm-hmm.
And just one, clearly communicate. That's something that I've always been a fan of. It's just like communicating with the child as if the child can communicate back to mm-hmm. you and y'all can have a conversation. And not always like, obviously the child is not going to understand these big grand abstract concepts, but just making them feel like respected enough that like, you know, you get down, when I talk to children, like I get down to their level, I look mm-hmm. them in the eye and I make sure that they understand like what it is that I'm saying, make sure they know like they're safe. And I try to, and this is mostly just like with my family. I haven't really had opportunities, I guess, to do this otherwise, but I just mostly just try with my words to show everyone, I guess, how you could do things differently, how you can talk to your child differently and make them feel safe, and also make them aware of, like, that there are differences in the world, and some things are safe and some things are not, and that, yeah, I think that's really the biggest thing, is like, I just try to make sure that I lead by example, by way of what my speech looks like, because that's really the main thing that I can control, and then also leading by example, by way of being as authentic as I can be, showing up in front of whoever.
Yeah.
Because like you said, that is what they're looking up to. And I go home to like my little cousins all the time, and they're just like, oh my God, oh my God. And yeah. So like, I do want to make sure that I am showing up in a way that if y'all are, oh my God, and like, at least it's like truly me, you know? Yeah.
What if you had a child that's really comfortable with you because you have been taking those steps or whatever, and let's say that they're like, yeah, I'm a girl, but I know I'm a boy. What do you do in that instance? Especially if they're like young, like really young. And like, I know me personally, like, I know it's technically, it wouldn't be up to me because not my child. But if it was my child, I personally don't know what I would do. I feel like I would still affirm and acknowledge it, but I feel like I would not. Like the actual
actionable steps.
Yeah, the actionable steps. Like, do you still wait? Do you, like, how? Yeah.
Yeah. That is tricky, and I think obviously it'll kind of vary across whoever. But yeah, I think what I would do with like the knowledge that I currently have, one, I would make sure that I'm doing proper research. Two, I think I might wait just until I feel that I'm comfortable taking action. That's how I operate in general. Like, I'm not a person like act first, ask later. Like, I'm going to make sure, like, let me ask all the questions I need to ask first, and then we're going to see what we're doing next.
Yeah.
And so in that way, it might prolong them being in a space that they might not necessarily want to be in. But I think that the only like thing that I can do that would sit well on my conscience is to make sure that I, one, am communicating with them, what it is that the knowledge that I have, and then continuing to grow my knowledge about it so that I can help them make the right decision, because it's not my decision.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I'll piggyback on that, because I feel like obviously I'm the same way. I think if someone, a child of any sort, were to come and tell me, first and foremost, I'm honored if anyone comes and tells me anything that this is like they can't. Right. I'm already like, whew.
Right.
You telling me? Okay. How can I help you within the confines of what I can do? But also, if it was my child, I think that first and foremost, make sure it's not a phase. But I think making sure that the environment at home is safe for them, because when they are going out elsewhere, they may not be met with the same compassion.
Right.
So making sure that, like, and maybe even like, I would probably go and be like telling my, the teachers or like other guardians about it so that they are at least aware. Just in case, so that they can like keep an eye and make sure that everything's going okay with the other kids and whatever, just making sure that their community is kind of set up and as safe as they can possibly be in order to explore that, right, even at that young of an age. But I remember when I was a child, like, I knew a lot so young. Like, I've always been a self-aware millennial, like, out the womb.
Facts.
So if a child is literally like, and children are so pure, they are so honest from the jump. And it's just as they get older, they become less sure of themselves because of the society. So it's like, if they are telling you something now,
right,
like, they've had time to think about this.
Right.
So,
and they also just have that knowing. We all have that knowing. And like you said, the knowing just kind of shrinks and decreases over time because we've been given so much information. So I think that it's very important to listen to children. And obviously, like, as an adult, you have to know, like, use discretion, obviously, but you don't want to just like completely disregard them.
Yeah. They need a space. They need a safe space.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's doggy dog out world out here. And a lot of people are not, like, I mean, I can name a bunch of people on my fingertips who are not even, if they ever heard something different than what they thought that their child was going to be, like, they, it's... Yeah, it's not good, and I think that's not fair. Mm-hmm. That's not fair to this child that you've chosen to bring into this world. And like you anyway. That's yeah. another conversation yeah, that's for another time.
One. That's another one.
Sakina, tell them where they can find you, and if you have any upcoming events that they can support you. This will be coming out like. Couple of weeks.
Well, y'all can find me on Instagram at Sakina Daz Comedy. I'm sure it'll be linked, right? So I don't need to spell it. Okay, yeah, I'm not gonna spell it. You can also find me at Sakina Daz Comedy, SakinaDaz.com. That's my website. And come out to Retro Shade April 12th. We'll be roasting Aries, so it'll be a good time.
Yes.
All my exes are Aries, so I got a vendetta.
I'm coming. I'm excited. I'm pretty sure I'll be there. I usually I'll make time out of my space, so if y'all are there, y'all see me. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming to the Self-Aware Millennial podcast. I hope that y'all enjoyed this episode. It's been so good to be back in the studio space. I know it's been a couple of months now because of holidays and just all this other stuff that I've been working up. And so I want to appreciate and just thank y'all for following up with us. And also thank you for all of my Patreon folks that have been along the way. Thank you for continuing to support us. And also thank you to Jazz and Heritage Foundation for the grant. I'm just going to keep saying
congratulations
that. Thank
again,
you.
By the way.
Thank you. I'm really happy for it. It's been helpful. Daz Digital, like, they are the reason, y'all are the reason why they are here, and like, I could get this done. Like, it's been really helpful, and I'm hoping I can find some more grants. But until then, I'm hoping that Self-Aware Millennial will have some live events coming up that hopefully in the next episode I'll be able to share with y'all. But other than that, I hope that y'all have a wonderful day, and I'll see you for the next show.
Thanks.